Hello, you're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Nemro, and this is part two of being careful about being a realist. I was talking last time about Don Lancaster, one of my great heroes in the microcomputer history. I guess he's almost gotten to the point to where he's a historical figure. He's not dead, as far as I'm aware. But most of his best work is in the past. And I hope that doesn't offend him if he ever hears this recording. I'm sure he's still doing some amazing things, but all the things I remember and all the things that I thought were neat and I wanted to try and do are in the past now. They're the things that had seen their day, and they were cool, and they were great, but now they've kind of gone by the wayside. I've been accused, and rightly so, I think, of being kind of a nasty realist about things. I tend to get a really neat idea, and one of the first things you do when you get an idea is you think it through. You know, you say, okay, is this going to really accomplish what I want? If you're willing to make money with it, and I've always been hey man, if I can make money out of it, that's exactly what I'm after. Always wanted to be kind of independent, kind of do my own thing. And hold on to my ideas. And my wife, Lisa, will gladly tell you this, that most of my stuff are harebrained schemes. You know? Harebrained money-making schemes. I've always written on and off. I can't say that I've done it all the time. I haven't pursued it as a vocation for the simple reason that I know that it's a hard thing to get into. And because of that, I would finish stuff, and I'd send it off to a couple of places. And there's been, some of my writing has gotten some interest. The Miracle of the Quilt was number one under consideration by a Christian publisher for a publication in an anthology. They told me to come up with the anthology. I did, and then it was ultimately rejected. I guess because they weren't willing to go where I was headed. That, and that's fine. I've been working on this larger book, much bigger book, and for many, many years, God sent. You guys, I've talked a little bit about it, how it was going to go. And I had always said, well, I was going to try to get a publisher for it. I still ultimately will, I think. I'll give it a good try, and maybe it will get published. I'm really hoping so. I'm hoping God didn't just do this so that I would be, He might have done it just strictly to keep me busy and to keep my mind on better things than they could have been on, which is fine. It doesn't bother me like it probably would have maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I hope I'm getting a little more mature attitude about these things. But that God has a plan, and that plan is essentially about me and about the kind of person I ultimately become, at least in relationship to what I do and how I can help other people. I hope my writings and voice steer that way, and how to help people gain what I think is a good attitude, a proper attitude about everything. My own desire, my own realist thing, which would say, Jay, you've got a 1 in a million long shot of any of this stuff actually coming to fruition and becoming like a lot of money for you or whatever. And so because of that, I don't pour a lot of myself into it because I'm not sure it's going to really bear fruit. And I think that's bad. I was, every once in a while I'll go to Don Lancaster's website. He's got a website. Most of the stuff on it's kind of his old stuff. I think he keeps some things up to date. But by and large, it's stuff from the past. And he still sells it to people who want it. He's one of these guys that he'll give you quite a bit of information. But the basic point of it is to get you to buy his products. So I went to his website. I've always been interested in his book publishing stuff. He had come up with, and he still uses, I think, himself. There's still a couple of pretty expensive pieces of the equipment that you might need to make his stuff work, you know. He's a big guy on, it's called Publishing on Demand, or he's called Book on Demand, BOD or POD. And you have to understand how the printing industry goes, especially how they've tended to go recently. But I'll get into that in a few minutes. His whole thing back then was that you could publish these books yourself. Now, there are some traditional ways that you would do something. The most traditional way is that you send your manuscript to a publisher, and that publisher would go and would basically do all the work and take all the risk of taking your book to press. Now, as long ago as 30 years ago, you could reasonably be assured of making a kind of a decent living. I'm not saying you didn't have to be a great writer, but even if there wasn't a huge market for your book, if they thought there might be much of a market at all, you could get published by somebody. Don was the first one to admit that over time, and he was published quite extensively back in the 70s and the early 80s. You know, he had several books. And he was the kind of guy that said, hey, you know, he said, you have to understand, books only stay really popular for a certain amount of time. And then it's over for them. You know, the book ends. And over time, especially when it comes to technical books become obsolete. The ideas they have in the books really don't equate to modern reality. You know, you can still get TTL chips, but they're starting to get more expensive because they're not made anymore. Chips are now a programmable hunk of silicon that you actually do more software programming than you do creating things in hardware. You don't do a lot of soldering anymore. You get kind of a carrier board, or you get a board with some connections that you actually need. And And that's what you, that's how you do hardware, electronic projects now. You use the little PIC microcontrollers, and, maybe you have a few discrete components to kind of interface to whatever you're doing. And that's it. That's all there is to it. So really the electronic side of it's nil. The biggest side of it is the programming side, you know. Or, you know, how to program this chip to make it behave the way you want it to. So, I really got into the whole publishing on demand thing because it worked well. In the book publishing industry over the last 20 years, it's very, very much become a big corporate thing. There are big corporate mega bookstores. There are big corporate publishers that feed books to these mega bookstores. The amount of time that your title will probably be on sale is actually quite short, except for some classic books. But honestly, there isn't a lot of call for classic books anymore, except in the educational market, because you have to keep a constant stream of those books to replace worn-out books. Tolkien, Shakespeare, Twain, stuff like that. Stuff that's kind of become legendary in everybody kind of studies. Anyway. So, I saw that reality. And Don Lancaster talked quite a bit about that. He says, you know, your chances to get published are getting less and less and less and less and less. It's really become more of a, you know, it's become a place more for professional formula writers than it is for a simple person, like say me, for instance. A person who may only publish once or twice. These publishers really want to curry writers, number one, that really can sell millions and millions and millions and millions of books. You can only sell a couple of thousand. They have no interest in that. They have no interest at all in that kind of stuff. The era of smaller presses that did more specialized work is kind of starting to wane as well, because people don't read in niches much anymore. People have become much more, is it sad to say, people become much more of a commodity. They become cows. Isn't that one of the things that I've talked about ad nauseum on these MP3 files? The fact that people have become a mass movement, a herd. And the way you make money is that you write things to answer the needs of a herd. You don't write, you know, no publisher is interested in writing a book that is, no matter how interesting no matter how interesting it is, you have to find some sort of a market for it. And the big book companies won't touch the small book companies. They're going away. It's really hard for an independent publisher to make money because they can't get into bookstores, because the era of the independent bookstore is kind of disappearing. You know, they can't, it's hard for a bookstore in the first place to compete against the internet, where people can go out and can find the book that they want and go and get it. The era of, well, I stock some really top sellers that people come in and get my, that people will buy my top selling book, but that I can put on my shelf a whole ton of but interesting books. And that era is pretty much gone. Everything's about, every single inch of this book space needs to generate money. We can't afford to have too much of stuff that doesn't move pretty fast, that isn't the most popular thing today. So that's kind of what happens. You know, and to get your book into one of these big mega stores is just nigh on impossible. You know? It isn't going to happen. Anyway, so I'm and Don started feeding off of this thing. He saw that there was still kind of a technical need out there, that people said, I want to publish a book. I feel like I've got a book in me. And his big thing was to come up with the capability for people to be able to do this. It came with laser printers, double-sided laser printers. He came up with other things. His whole goal was to come up with a way to make like a paperback book that was indistinguishable from what the industry was cranking out, so that you would look just exactly like a book on the shelf. A whole lot of places wouldn't sell your book if it didn't look like it came out of a pretty commercial operation, normal publisher. So his big thing was trying to get this stuff into bookstores. So he went through all this stuff. I think he finally got to the point to where you could produce a book with the technology that was out there. There were some specialized parts you had to get, but by and large, if you were a smart guy, or if you had some an ability to manufacture something, and you didn't have to manufacture but one of them, or you go into business manufacturing, or called book presses, you could crank out titles only as they were needed. You could advertise them. That's what makes the internet such a great place. You can advertise a book and you can have it out there, and then people could order it. And in the same kind of turnaround that you would expect from a big publisher that kept a huge backlist of books, you know, I said, well, we've got 2,000 copies of this book. And you would order one, they'd take a copy off the stack, stick it in the box, and mail it to you. Well, it might take maybe 15 or 20 minutes from the time when you got the order. You'd have to print out the entire book, page by page by page, with laser printers pretty fast. And then you print out the cover, maybe on an inkjet printer. You might have to do some finish work on the cover so that uh, so that it would look nice and glossy, exactly like you would expect one of these books to look. And then you would you'd package it up, and for all intents and purposes, as far as that customer would know, you are a huge printing house. You can look just like it and behave just like it, but without any of the upfront expense of having to print out 1,000 copies of the book that might not ever sell 1,000 copies. That way you could do smaller books. Now, he was operating, Don Lancaster was operating in the universe where there was still lots of independent bookstores. And that you could go into that bookstore and say, hey, I'm selling this book, would you mind putting this up on your shelf? And, you know, you would negotiate the deal. This is how much it's going to be, yada, yada, yada. And he had done it that way for a long time. But what happened was the independent booksellers have pretty much disappeared. They're only in small places, or only in really niche markets where people aren't really interested. Now, most of these storefronts have started disappearing because of the internet. People go on the internet and they can buy whatever they want to. So Don Lancaster's whole life kind of switched from being more of a traditional, he wasn't really a traditional bookstore, he was a mail order bookstore. Which means that you never saw his storefront because he never had one. So all of a sudden, there was this internet, and he could market on the internet. And my time's up. I'm going to come back, and I think we're going to wrap up this whole thing about being a realist and about my example of Don Lancaster. And we'll see you again. Have a great day. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenless. I'm Jay Nemro. Have a great day.